Good morning, everybody. It's time for the Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. It's Elder Care Radio, only on News Radio 890-925-KDXU. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for being here. Welcome to Elder Care Radio. We are always so grateful for the support and welcoming feeling that we get. This weekend, we were invited to participate in Friends of Parkinson's, and it was wonderful to see everyone and to hear such great speakers, and we're just so excited and grateful to be a part of this wonderful community. We are Elder Care Radio, brought to you by Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. We are here to help seniors find their resources that they are looking for, and there are many, many, especially in this wonderful community of Utah. So we're here for you. If you have any questions, if you have a friend or loved one that is struggling and needs some support throughout the day, we hope that you will feel welcome to give our office a call, and hopefully we'll be able to give you some assistance and some direction in finding the help that you need. Brought to you by Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, 435-477-6999. Again, it's 435-477-6999. Or check us out on our website at pathwayhospicecare.com, where you can find out more about us and some of the resources that are available to you.
That's excellent. You know, we've been doing blood pressure and blood sugar monitoring for the community for the past few years. We do that at the Hurricane Senior Center. And we do that at the St. George Senior Center, the Active Life Center.
And we did that at Friends of Parkinson's.
And we did it at Friends of Parkinson's, and we were just invited to one of the local 55 and over communities, and we'll be doing that regularly there. And we're going to be expanding now that COVID is over and everybody's getting back to normal. We'll be doing that in other places. But over the years, and as we've talked to more people, it's interesting. Let me just say, blood pressure is an anomaly, I think. Everybody thinks they should get their blood pressure tested, but then they're at a loss as to what that means. And they get kind of wrapped around some minutiae and don't really get a big picture. So we really want to explore that today. We want to go into some details and give some people some information.
Well, and I believe the medical community will admit that everyone is so dynamic and individualized that there really are ranges and some pretty wide ranges from individual to individual based on their specific condition as it relates to chronic illnesses, age, weight, body type, genetic history. Mm-hmm. So it really is a difficult target to nail down.
Right. So the conversations, happen, that we take their blood pressure and they say, so what does that mean? Well, that's hard to say, but I think let's start with what I think we've all been taught from grade school up, and that is 120 over 80, period. That's all the details that are ever given. And that doesn't really help us understand much. After having given over 5,000 blood pressure tests, by an estimate, to hundreds of people, I don't think I've ever seen anybody that had a 120 over 80 blood pressure number. It's never been 120 over 80. In fact, but that's what everybody is expected to have. And so does that mean that we are all on the verge of collapse or, catastrophic myocardial infarctions or strokes? Or, is that where everybody is because we're not at 120 over 80? And that's not the case. So I've always heard this statement attributed to Einstein, and that is everything should be as simple as it can be, but no simpler. However, there's no record of him actually ever saying that. But there is an actual written record that this is what he said, and I think this is better, not quite as quaint. It can scarcely be denied that the supreme goal of all theory is to make the reductible basic elements as simple and as few as possible without having to surrender the adequate representation of a single datum of experience.
Now, yeah, I think that sounds more like Einstein.
It does. It sounds a little bit more like Einstein. So going with that basic premise, I believe that blood pressure has been reduced down to so simple that we've gone far past anything that's meaningful. It's almost meaningless to just say, well, 120 over 80, 120 over 80, 120 over 80. If you get a blood pressure machine, it might have a colored screen now, and it'll be green or yellow or red, and it's 120 over 80 is where that starts.
And when listening to many of the speakers at the Friends of Parkinson's this weekend, we determined that really there's so many questions on blood pressure that maybe you need to understand what they're looking for and what the basis is so that you can have less stress in your life when you're hearing some very sporadic or varying changes in your blood pressure. Worrying about it's probably going to increase your blood pressure more than the risk of the variations.
Well, and that's a good point. Many people are on a schedule of getting their blood pressure tested every year when they go to the doctor's office. And so you're in an uncomfortable circumstance. You're a little agitated maybe, and now you're going to get your blood pressure tested. And they're just going to walk in and strap you to a machine and push a button and you don't know how you're doing on the test. Did you pass, fail? Is it a grade?
Well, kind of, and especially if you've had like a stressful time or you've noticed some other physical declines, perhaps when that blood pressure is being taken, you're so concerned or focused on what it's going to reveal that it does change. And then if it is higher, or, you know, the first thing we say is, what does that mean? Yeah. And we might remember that we were pretty close to the range of accurate blood pressure last year, and now we're high. Does that mean that my heart is starting to fail? I've had other indicators. So there's just much more to that information.
Right. So you don't get graded on a curve for this. You know, you can retake the test, and that's actually a good thing to consider doing on occasion. But we seem to get really focused on those numbers. Now, I'll give you a little information. If your blood pressure were 180 over 120, 180 over 120, that would be considered a clinical crisis. Okay, that's the level that you should be dealing with that immediately, not finishing up the dishes or doing the laundry and then I'll go, or, you know, let me just plow this last field. You should go get that taken care of and go to the hospital. Don't set an appointment with your doctor for 3 months from now. Go ahead and get that taken care of. Now, your blood pressure can be over that. You know, there are people who are at 200 over 100. Those are things that need to be addressed. Not that those are going to be things that will affect you immediately. They can, but we should have our blood pressure under control or at least monitored. And so that's where you want to have your doctor's involved. You know, again, at those high numbers, that's really an issue. But what happens if you're not that high, or what if you're not that low? Because, and these are some things we're going to talk about today, blood pressure varies constantly throughout the day. If you imagine that you got up in the morning and your blood pressure was exactly the same, from minute to minute and hour to hour, it's changing, and it should. Our body has to adapt to circumstances. And the standards that we use change as we age. Our blood pressure naturally rises and falls throughout the day. And if you don't know those things, then any numbers that you get, you can't really put into context. So let's talk about really bad blood pressure. And I said, you know, the 180 over 120, that's really bad, right? And we should not be dealing with that. We shouldn't be postponing anything with that. But if your numbers aren't that extreme, then what? Now, I will tell you that zero is a bad number. Okay. Technical term for that is bad. So if your blood pressure is,
right?
Yeah.
I think dead would be the clinical term for that one.
Yeah. So we've got zero at one end and 180 over 120 at another end. And so you're somewhere in the middle of that. What does that really mean? And that's what I hope we can kind of get some understanding today. So there are two different numbers. There's systolic and diastolic. The systolic is that high number and the diastolic is the low number. But how does that work? Well, the low number is what our blood pressure in our body is at rest, when our heart isn't pumping, right? That's the low end. And that's really the one that can cause long-term stress, because if that number's high, then everything else is high. But that second number, that higher number, what is it? Well, that's just the amount of contraction that your heart does in order to pump blood. And most people pump more than 40 points, you know, from 80 to 120. Most of the people we've tested, their heart is pumping more than that. Does that necessarily make it bad? No. I will tell you that not being able to pump 40 points can be bad. You know, if somebody is 100 over 80, those numbers seem really good, except that their heart is only able to pump a little bit of blood. And if those are the numbers you're working with, you may notice that you are lethargic, that you don't have, you know, the energy and the abilities that you did before. And that's a concern, and that should be something you talk to your doctor about. If our numbers are higher and lower, then that's information you should have. It doesn't mean anything other than that's what your body's doing. It has to be interpreted, and there's some finesse and some detail in that interpretation that you should be able to do, but you can't get it from one number. And that's the real point, is if you take your blood pressure once a year, you're not telling much of a story at all. If your doctor gets it, you know, the last year when you did your appointment and this year when you do your appointment, all he's going to be able to say is, wow, that's different.
So when you come out to the senior center or you see us at special events, we normally track your blood pressures on a form. This weekend we had quite a few people who knew people that didn't know us, and their question was, why are you gathering that information? It wasn't to put them on any email list or to market to them in the future. It really was so that as we track their, we then invited them to the senior centers, but as we're tracking or gauging these blood pressures, you can have a look at the time of day that it was, how your blood pressure, the diastolic or systolic numbers changed, how it changed from day to day throughout the day, whether you had eaten or not eaten, whether you had stress. If you're sitting there talking, it can change. But it's those numbers that you can then, that form that you can take to your doctor that gives him a better outlook of the reality of your health. And that's the important part. You should be taking it at, throughout different times of the day and consistently. That'll give a huge indication. You might even write a little note in it when you come out to the senior center next to it, stressful morning, or just kind of give some little notes to say these could be some indications of a bigger problem or a very, very a problem not to worry about at all. You know, you have high blood pressure, but there's a very good reason.
Right. Worrying and not having any knowledge to change it is the worst condition to be in. You know, we're worried about something there's no way we can do. So let's take control of the situation. So here's the deal. If both of your numbers are above 120 over 80, then your blood pressure is higher than ideal. But the question is how high? Now, when we're talking about, we'll talk with about the high number. From 120, which is great or good, to 180, that's where we're at crisis. So if your blood pressure is 124, how bad is that in that range? From 120 to 180 and you're at 124. Well, you're pretty darn close to great. 128, 130, okay, so it's not quite as good as it was. On the low end, if your blood pressure is lower than 80, then that's good. There's nothing bad about that, unless you're feeling lightheaded, in which case you probably need to check with your doctor, bring that information to him, and be able to show that correlation. You know, I've been a little lightheaded, a little dizzy. Sometimes I feel like I'm going to fall. And I've noticed when I'm in that way, my blood pressure is really low. Your doctor may give you some things to do to raise that. But if we don't have the information, we can't talk to our doctor about it and help them, because they only have that one number once a year that they took at the office.
And we all have a slightly different normal.
Right. So let's give you some facts that you can work with. Blood pressure should vary during, you know, throughout our age. Most people who are should be really concerned about hypertension are those that are getting that earlier in life. At our really young age, blood pressures vary quite a bit. It doesn't settle down really until we're, you know, in our 30s and 40s, that our blood pressure should be relatively consistent. But for young people, you know, those numbers could be all over the place, especially, you know, babies and children. So these are where we're at. You know, when you're in the 20 to 24 range, the new numbers, the ones that are supposedly ideal, is 120 over 79, okay? And then basically every 4 years or 5 years, that blood pressure may go up. The average perfect blood pressure goes up by about a point on each end from the systolic and the diastolic. So at, you know, 35 to 39, they say 123 over 82 is the baseline normal. That's where we're looking. And as we approach 50, 129 over 85. Now, some people may have their blood pressure taken regularly, and they're thinking 129 over 85, those are bad numbers, because it's not 120 over 80. It's not supposed to be now when you're 50 years old. And at 60 and over, 134 over 87, those would be reasonable numbers. So I hope that that relieves some people of some stress that they haven't been able to deal with, that they don't have to worry about those numbers because they're not bad. And if you're a little over those numbers, that's not bad. That's not perfect, right?
Right, right.
But let's not worry about what's not perfect. If your numbers are significantly higher than those, then that's when your doctor may want to intervene with some drugs or some therapies. And so that's going to be an important thing.
One of the things that I thought was fascinating was the daily pattern. You know, does blood pressure have a daily pattern?
Yeah. So certainly our blood pressure should change as our activities change, but our blood pressure does change just throughout the day. When we're asleep at night, we can imagine that our blood pressure is lower, and right, it should be. If it's not, then that's a problem. But it's interesting, we were talking about this, that your blood pressure starts to rise about an hour before you get up. Now, how does your body know you're getting up? I mean, that circadian rhythm, maybe.
Right.
And if we're doing things that are throwing that off, then our blood pressure isn't coming up to temperature or coming up to pressure in preparation for the day. And it may be part of the reason why we may be so lethargic. And so, you know, we have to do things like, you know, take caffeine or something else to feel like we can get moving. So if we can manage our sleep a little better, I think our blood pressure is going to appreciate that. And our bodies are going to appreciate that our blood pressure is working better. So those are some things to consider.
Which is really why sleep patterns are so, so important. If you were raised on a farm, even as you age, you still have this general need to rise about 4:30 in the morning, but you also tend to take an afternoon nap, mm-hmm, and then go to bed again with the expectation of getting up in the morning again. Right. So we create these, and this is part of why blood pressures vary so much from individual and based on environmental circumstances and genetics, but we really should be on a consistent pattern of sleep to allow our bodies to recognize the times that it should be sleeping and the times that it should be waking, because our blood pressure, of all things, our bodies are so brilliant. Our blood pressures will lower as sleep is, it's time for sleep, and it will start to raise as it's time to start to rise. So if we're all over the place with our sleep patterns, we're never going to feel good throughout the day, because our blood pressure is going to rise and shine throughout the day,
right,
and kind of give us some racing and then give us some really tired times.
Right.
So a sleep pattern is more important than I think I gave it credit for until we started to study this a little bit further.
Right. So we should be lowest blood pressure overnight, okay? And that should drop by more than 10%, which is some significant numbers. And then just before we wake up, our blood pressure should be coming up to become active during the day. And then it should peak about midday and then start to drop off again as we enter the evening, and then, you know, fall back into that cycle. And that's the ideal cycle. But if we're not following that cycle, then that's another indication. And this is, again, where what we've come to in, you know, in all of our activities about blood pressure removes us from that. We have simplified this too far. When we only take our blood pressure at 8:30 in the morning when we get up and say, oh, look, I'm consistent and I'm only here, that doesn't tell us much of the story at all.
Mm-mm.
It's a good baseline, and that's what we'll call it. But once you've done that, once you've taken your blood pressure over a period of time at the same time every day and understand that particular metric, it's time to move on and start talking about other things. So that's where what we're hoping we can help you do today is to come up with some details and processes that would make sense. So if you haven't and you have a blood pressure monitor, then this is what I would suggest. Either start with getting that baseline, taking your blood pressure at the same time every day in the most rested state possible. Take a few minutes just sitting calmly and comfortably before you take your blood pressure. Make sure that everything is the same, that your back is supported, that your feet are flat on the floor, that you are, you know, very comfortable, and that your blood pressure cuff is on the same spot on your bicep.
Take a few deep breaths, yeah, before they start, and don't talk while they're taking it.
Right. And then take that blood pressure and then write that down and keep track of when you took it during the day. Now, most blood pressure monitors will keep track of that for you. If you want to download that information, you can do that. And then once you've done that for about a month, that gives you a really good baseline. Now let's change it up. let's take our blood pressure at different times during the day. Mm-hmm. Maybe every day you're going to vary it by a few hours. So you'll take it in the morning, you'll take it in the evening, you'll take it a few times in the midday, and keep track of when you do that so that you can chart those changes. And if you see, your day from beginning to end goes up a little bit and comes down a little bit, then that's normal and that's good. And that gives us another perspective on that. Now, if you need more, and if that data is all good, you're probably okay. However, and this is important, there is a blood pressure monitor system that's called an ambulatory system. Your ambulatory blood pressure monitor you'll wear throughout the day, and it will constantly take your blood pressure, maybe every 15 minutes, and it will get a very, very defined definition of what your one day looks like. And it'll take your blood pressure overnight, usually maybe once an hour, to see that you drop down. Because if you're not dropping down at night, that's a problem. And that's not a problem that's going to be showing, taking your blood pressure once at your doctor's office or even taking it at the exact same time every day. So that blood pressure monitor, that ambulatory blood pressure monitor system, is actually covered by Medicare and Medicaid. And so it might be worth talking to your doctor and saying, hey, I just want to know, can I do that to get a feel for what my day is? And they should be able to prescribe that for you and have you do it once.
As part of being your own best medical advocate, it's important to find out what your baseline is. If you can take this ambulatory pressures monitored throughout the day, whether you get a machine to do it for you or whether you do it on your own, you have more information to provide to your primary care physician so that he has a better outlook of what your normal is. That will give him a much better indication of what your normal range is so that he can see high probabilities or risks or, problems that you might be facing now or in the future. Remember that medications can also set it off. So if you're taking your blood pressure, remember to write down when you took your medications and at what time you took your medication so the doctor can see relative to your blood pressure.
So we have the basic hypertension or essential hypertension, but the other type of problem that isn't quite so obvious if we're only taking our blood pressure a few times a week is the labile, that's spelled L-A-B-I-L-E, or labile, but it's pronounced labile hypertension. And that is where your blood pressure changes sporadically, and it spikes at some times during the day. And if that happens, we may not have picked that up if we're not being a little more broad in our testing. But those are concerns. So being able to take it throughout the day, you may find that you have these spikes of high blood pressure, which again is data that you can bring to your doctor and have an intelligent conversation about and try and solve. Some other secondary things, if your blood pressure is low and you're feeling a little lightheaded because you're on a blood pressure med, that would be a good time to talk to your doctor and say, hey, let's make this adjustment. Because there's a lot of different medications that can be used to reduce blood pressure, and many times those are stacked on top of each other to accomplish different things. When you get a new medication, be very cautious about driving and things like that, because it can affect you that way. And respond back to your doctor. Give them good information so that you can help them treat you better. So we're about out of time. Our telephone number, 435-477-6999. We really appreciate having these opportunities to share with you and hopefully improve the overall health of the community and specifically target that health improvement for the elderly, because healthcare is a little different as we get older.
Come to our website at pathwayhospicecare.com for more information. And if you are looking for a simple form to help you get some good tractions or know the things that you should be tracking, give our office a call, 435-477-6999. We're happy to provide our basic form. You can amend it any way that you want to, but it'll give you a good baseline of the information to keep track of, the times that you're taking it to provide to your doctor. Come out to the Senior Center tomorrow and in Hurricane, call our office for the times and locations, and we can help you keep track so that you can have your best, be in your best health.
And maybe not worry about stuff you don't need to worry about.
Have a great week, everyone. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.